We're back with the Danger Room's 24 Days of Christmas. This year, we're doing one episode per affiliation, each with its own special guest. We made an effort this year to bring in some guests from all over the world. Sit back, listen, and Merry Christmas.
Hello, welcome back to another Christmas episode of the Danger Room. Today, we're going to be talking about Defenders, and with me, I have Jeremy, aka Nobility, on Discord. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Doing pretty well. I'm excited to talk about what is some of the new hotness, right? Like, this is becoming popular and gaining steam, so I'm excited to hear from someone who knows way better than I do what's going on here.
Yeah, ever since the character changes, obviously Daredevil's in a much better spot. When that came out, I was super excited to start putting them on the table more, and I'm liking how it's feeling so far.
Cool. Well, before we jump too far into the Defenders talk, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit? How long have you been playing MCP?
Sure. Yeah, I have been playing MCP for almost 2 years now. My first and only tabletop wargaming endeavor, I guess.
Okay.
I picked it up kind of on a whim at a friend's suggestion and fell in love with it. I started with Midnight Suns. I've always been a huge fan of street level type heroes from Marvel, like Blade, Daredevil, all that type of stuff. So started out with them, went over to Guardians for a while, spent most of my competitive time with them.
Okay.
Then kind of pivoted back to Midnight Suns when iHulk came out, had some fun with that. Now I'm on this train since the changes.
Awesome. Yeah, this is also my first game, so very similar. Just sort of picked it up and fell in love. Fun when that happens. So why don't we jump in? Would you please read your list so that we can have a sort of a frame of reference to go from as we go through the rest of the conversation. But what does your list look like right now?
Yeah, I've got Daredevil, Amazing Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Sorcerer Supreme, Hulk, Wolverine, Luke Cage, Valkyrie, Wong, and then a couple splashes with Crimson Dynamo and Beta Ray Bill. Splashes you don't see very often.
Yeah, really interested to hear why those two are so good. all right, so let's jump in. Mostly affiliated, what would you consider sort of the core of Defenders characters, and which ones would you maybe consider nice to have?
I mean, for Daredevil specifically, I would say that the core has to be probably Daredevil, Hulk, ASM, Wolverine, Luke Cage, and Wong. They all feel absolutely mandatory to me.
Okay.
For various reasons, obviously. But Defenders just has like this huge roster. I mean, it's not as big as like Avengers or Cabal, of course, but it just has this huge roster of generally good characters. You don't really feel like you need to splash a ton here.
Right. We say those ones feel sort of super core. Walk me through why. Why are those ones so important?
Okay. So Daredevil, obviously, leader. Hulk is Hulk. You don't really have to say too much about him these days.
Yep.
I mean, everyone knows he's great. The thing people tend to go back and forth on here is iHulk is also affiliated. I personally prefer regular Hulk here. I think Immortal Hulk feels a lot better other places, namely Midnight Suns. But I think that the sixth threat versus the seventh threat is pretty big for us.
Okay.
Especially at 15 and 16 threat, you can have some really strong setups, and iHulk at 7 threat just kind of messes with the things that you can do there.
Okay.
ASM, he's just really good since the changes. His power economy with the rolling crits is incredible, and I'm probably going to make some people mad by saying this, but I think this is ASM's best home. Sorry, Web Warriors.
Nope, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I love it. I agree with you.
Everyone knows how good he is defensively. How hard he is to take down. But in Defenders here with Daredevil, you can basically make him an offensive powerhouse at times, being able to leverage those rerolls. And especially if you're hitting the triggers with him, he can put out some pretty crazy amounts of damage. Yep. And he's incredible on pay to flips, which we haven't talked about crises yet, but he's just an all around great character these days.
Nice. Okay. So the other two I think that you mentioned were Wolverine and Wong.
Yeah.
And I think people are really up and down about Wolverine. So sell me on Wolverine and why he's core to this list.
So Wolverine is core largely for 16 threat.
Okay.
I would challenge you to find a better feeling team than Defenders at 16 threat on Mayor Fisk. If you take Daredevil, Hulk, Wolverine, and Wong, you have two stun immune models. You have displacement on 3 out of 4 of your models, and you have a healer or someone that can take status conditions off. It's incredibly strong.
Yeah. I have played into that team. It is very, very good. Hulk with rerolls is nasty, and Wolverine just sort of seems to show up at the right time.
Yeah. Another reason I really enjoy Wolverine in this list is because this is a mid-range list that leans towards attrition.
Okay.
Sometimes you don't have a ton of defensive options if you're playing a team that's heavier attrition than you. And Wolverine can be used differently depending on the situation. There are games where I will be incredibly aggressive with him, and I will allow him to flip fairly early if my opponent wants to go into him. And I'll save my defensive tech, exceptional if it applies, heroes for hire, usually sacrifice. I'll save those things so that I can kind of take advantage of the extra dice that he gets on his backside, in addition to healing factor, to kind of clean up after the fact.
Okay.
And when you're rolling, you know, his spender is 7 dice. And then when you're rolling extra dice for damage on top of that, and then you have rerolls with it, potentially with wilds counting as 2, he can just delete models. So if I'm running in a slow scoring crisis with objectives that he doesn't need to interact with necessarily, then I'm pretty willing to let him flip and just abuse his injured side if I have the defensive tech available to keep him alive.
Okay, yeah, cool. I like that. Yeah, let's talk about Wong.
Wong is Wong. He is... I think if you like Wong, you really like Wong. If you don't like Wong, then you probably never play him, right? In Defenders, he's obviously an affiliated 2 threat, which is really good. He oftentimes just sits on a back point and heals or removes status conditions, which is totally fine for a 2 threat. If I'm going up against a different Hulk, he often just makes my Hulk better because my Hulk has a way to remove the staggers. When I'm putting Wong on the board, I'm usually taking Pentagrams, which is a little controversial. A lot of people don't like that card, but I found it to be situationally very good.
Okay.
And Wong just tends to be an annoyance for my opponent. People sleep on him, I guess. But he's kind of necessary in this roster.
So my assumption would be that the only reason Wong is playable is because he got an extra defense dice, right? Like, that's what makes us all tick.
I mean, it certainly helps, right?
Yeah.
I mean, does he block the world with that one extra defense dice? No. But it makes people a little less likely to take him down right away.
Right.
I do have Strange in this roster, Sorcerer Supreme. So if I'm running both, then all of a sudden he's 4-4-4, and he is surprisingly difficult to remove at that point.
Yep.
The extra defense die certainly helped. And he does turn on a lot of things for this roster round one if you're willing to just meditate and passive power. Wolverine loves that extra power. Hulk loves that extra power. Strange loves that extra power. ASM. So pretty much anyone will take it.
Yeah, there's an entire Steve like archetype built around an extra power, so with a lot of these same characters. So I think it's good. So moving outside of sort of those core characters, your other defenders, so Strange Supreme and Valkyrie. So let's talk about Strange Supreme a little bit. What does he do here?
So Strange Supreme comes in. He's kind of a role player. I have specific situations that I want to take him on. He's my main eyes play outside of Bill here, right?
Okay.
I mean, everyone knows the double hammer grab with Strange Eyes. That's one of the times that I want to bring him in with Pryo on hammers. Generally, just if I want someone with more mobility, he's very good on senators, being able to scalpel people in and out when they can't do the extra movements or, you know, himself.
Okay.
So he just kind of comes in, usually at higher threats, usually a little more hesitant to bring Hulk on those higher threat crises where he can get burned down a little faster, or on the faster scoring ones, you know, again, like senators. Strange comes in at those times. He's also good to have just as a mystic attacker, potentially, for maybe the mirror match, anything like that.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I like that. It's not something I've seen anybody use yet. So certainly when you sent me the list, it sort of piqued my curiosity, like, oh, that's, I like that. But I forgot he was affiliated, actually.
I think that any character that has some sort of placement to aid their action economy needs consideration here in this list, because if you can place to prioritize or to maximize the rerolls that you're getting off of the leadership, it's sure. It's pretty strong. And most of these characters have that, right? Strange Scalpel,
right.
ASM, Web Swing, things like that.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. I really like that. And you can see, now that you say that, looking back at these, a lot of these characters do have that mobility built into their kit. One, including Valkyrie. So Valkyrie, what's she doing here? Just like a mini Wolverine?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, Valkyrie is probably the most droppable piece from this list.
Okay.
I like her because I like having the displacement that she brings. I find her most useful on those high threat crises, especially like Scoundrels. You can run a 20 threat team of Daredevil, Hulk, Wolverine, Luke, and Valkyrie, something to that effect. And every single one of your models has displacement on them. So it becomes pretty good on Scoundrels, especially if you're going into a Kingpin team, something like that, where you need to be moving people off because you're not going to kill them fast enough.
Okay.
And then on top of that, just starting with two power is nice, just for certain crises, setups, right? Like a pay to flip and an extract, right? She can do both. But she's mainly right. There just to have that displacement. She does like the rerolls, Warrior of Legend and everything. She can occasionally just delete something out of nowhere, but she's mainly there for that displacement.
Okay, perfect. So then moving into the splash characters, Dynamo and Bill.
Yeah, I don't know that these guys need a lot of explanation. They're probably the most splashed four threats, right? Somewhere in there.
Yep.
Dynamo, like I said, this is an attrition team, or it's a mid-range team that leans attrition.
Okay.
Dynamo offers a different play style. You can bring Dynamo and ASM together and just absolutely frustrate your opponents between, yep, Disruption Field and Witty Banter. Bringing those two things, your opponent will almost never hit triggers that they're looking for. Couple that with Luke Cage, you feel basically invincible most of the time. That's the main reason he's here, is just if you go into a, you know, a more attrition focused team than you, like maybe Guardians, something like that, or another affiliation that's going to be fishing for triggers, Black Order, something like that, you can just kind of mess with them. Usually feels pretty good. He's also just good on a lot of the crises that we like, right? Like defenders want to be bunched up, they want to play these down the middle crises like Gamma, stuff like that. So he's almost always in range for his disruption field in those cases, and he can get his good beams off to add shock on top of all of the other stuff that you're frustrating your opponent with.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. It sounds like you don't feel like you're the best necessarily attrition team in the game. You're more mid-rangey, and because of that, Dynamo can help when you maybe get matched up into one of those, we'll say, bigger attrition teams.
Yeah.
Like Guardians, things like that. Would that be fair?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people like to look at teams like whether they're attrition or scenario based. I tend to look at teams and see that, and then look at the mid range, and then I try to divide it up into two other categories. It's mid range scenario, mid range attrition, and defenders definitely do not kill as fast as Guardians, but they kill pretty well. I don't win most of my games by tabling. It's happened, but generally I'm scoring out, and it's because I'm removing a model or two here or there. But they definitely lean towards the attrition with leadership.
Cool. Yeah, makes sense. And then Bill, he's Bill.
Yeah. He's another safe grab. He's kind of demons insurance, right? Because we don't love demons in defenders, but he's good on it, obviously, being incinerate immune. He's there for potentially helping to deal with a cosmic ghost rider if I need to at certain threats. He's just kind of that all-arounder that helps fill in those holes that we need.
Yep. And Bill loves the defender leadership.
Yes, he definitely does. He gets a stun way more often here with the rerolls, helps him build that power up a little bit better. Yeah, he definitely does not mind it.
Are there any characters, let's say, like your characters of maybe 11 and 12 that are really close to making it but just don't quite hit the cut?
Yeah, there's more than that, honestly.
Okay. So who are some of those?
There's a couple more affiliated options that I think are pretty good picks. Ancient One is pretty good. She's an affiliate, another affiliated option that could come in with Mystic attacks. She's got Martial Artist. I like her better if you're trying to do some sort of like Doctor Strange, OG Strange, Daredevil mix and kind of go between the leaders.
Okay.
But she does work well here. She's another character that would do well on something like Scoundrels, right? So I've messed with her a little bit. She's pretty fun here. She does like the rerolls. And Elektra is really good here, especially with the ninjas and the extra shenanigans that you can pull off. Elektra really gets good things out of this leadership.
Okay, yep. I love Elektra since the changes. She has been insane for me. So I really like her in consideration, yeah, in this list.
She's basically always I shouldn't say always, but she's usually guaranteed to take advantage of it, right? Because she can do her builder or her gainer and then teleport in, and then she's in range of it. And the ninjas have the option of using it should they want to. So yeah, she fits in really well, and she does kind of help on the extract game if you're feeling a little down on that.
Right. What do the tactics cards look like?
So right now for restricteds, I'm running Brace for Impact and Sacrifice. And then I've got Exceptional Healing, No Matter the Cost, Heroes for Hire, Mission Objective, Eyes on the Prize, Fallback, Marked for Death, and I do bring Pentagram of Feralla for Defenders.
Talk to me about how you settled on Brace and Sacrifice as your restricted cards.
So I think everyone just thinks Brace is mandatory these days, right? And they're not wrong.
Sure.
I mean, throw damage is very strong. Most of the time, I'm pretty willing to take a few throws early on. A lot of these characters have 4 physical defense. ASM has the full rerolls on dodge too. So we're pretty good against throws. I do think it's just a good idea to have it to stop that one critical throw, you know, that one character you really need to survive at any given time. And then Sacrifice, I've gone back and forth on this one with Advanced R&D, which is always a consideration when you have Wong. I think Sacrifice is just too flexible of a card to not bring, especially with some of the tricks you can do with it here. Sacrificing into Daredevil occasionally to get him a free out of action move, you know, assuming he has the power to man without fear, and then strike someone back is pretty good sometimes. Sacrifice coupled with Heroes for Hire is very good at just completely shutting something down, like removing, you know, rerolls or extra dice, something like that from a Killmonger. Yeah, Sacrifice just has too many good uses here to not bring in my opinion.
Yep. I have lived the dream with Daredevil of Sacrifice, move man without fear, build enough power for the spender, and then delete the entire enemy team. So highly recommend Sacrifice. I think it's a great choice in this list for a lot of reasons, but
yeah, nothing feels better than that.
And you know, his counting blanks gets around it, so around the no rerolls and things like that. So, and you have a lot of other tools like ASM and Dynamo that can help keep you safe even through Sacrifice. So I really like that here more than a lot of places. I think it has a lot of unique synergies. So
yeah, for sure.
So let's talk about your affiliated card in Pentagram of Feralla. You mentioned earlier that it was sort of a little contentious. Why is it in the list and how are you using it?
I think I mentioned that pretty much any time I'm putting Wong on the board, which is pretty often, I'm probably bringing Pentagrams.
Sure.
How it's going to be used is going to depend on, obviously, the game state. I think the only time I'm really intending to use it offensively is on a 15-threat Gamma game.
Okay.
You can basically set Wong up on the back point, meditate round one, so you start round two with 3 power, able to use it, and you can be contesting or winning the middle point with a Hulk and potentially other people, and you can immediately portal a Hulk into the back line and just decimate the enemy team. Depends on the matchup and what's going on, whether or not that's a good idea. You don't want to just portal your Hulk and get him killed.
Sure.
But I have had games where it's going to be slow scoring enough based on my opponent's deployment. I kind of have an idea of where they're going to be at the end of round one. For example, if I'm playing Gamma and let's say Deadly Legacy Virus, or even something like an alien ship, you know, something three extracts across the midline, and I know my opponent is going to move up and grab the two side ones given the option.
Okay.
That's probably prime time for me to do portal play top of two, because it's going to take him probably a full turn to get those characters that went out to grab those objectives back to where they want to be to deal with what I'm doing to them. If I can get back there and take out whatever piece they've left back there, whether it's an important piece like a leader or even just a smaller piece, I'm usually okay with that, because the bat gamma is worth two. They've got two from the objectives that they grabbed on the side, so we've got parity, and I'm probably winning on attrition at that point. So that's kind of the offensive way to use it. But I've also found it pretty good just defensively, as far as keeping Wong alive later in the game. I can usually place the portal to where, you know, Wong can just go through it right away and end up popping out on some other secure or wherever I want him to be. And I can limit my opponent's action economy. If they want to chase him, then they're going to have to use an action to go through that portal, come through, and they're going to have to hope to one-shot him at that point or have some sort of a throw. So it just kind of makes Wong more of an annoyance for my opponent to deal with at that point. And he probably has more than enough power to use it if he was just dazed or something. So he can often not only retreat to a better position through the portal, but he can usually do something from that spot, whether it's passing a power to someone that might need it or healing someone that might need it over there. It's usually just a big headache for the opponent, and I usually find that pretty worth the tactics card slot.
Okay, I'm sold. I'm putting it back in my defenders list. With you not having any other affiliated cards to choose from, it just seems like grab the best tactics cards for your characters and the best generic tactics cards.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, until defenders get some more tactics cards at some point in the future, that's kind of what it is. Exceptional healing and No Matter the Cost are in here, largely for Wolverine, right? But No Matter is good for, for other people too, potentially, like maybe Bill at some points, maybe Hulk. But yeah, those two are largely Wolverine cards. Heroes is self-explanatory for Luke, and then you've just got your general good tactics cards and mission objective, eyes on the prize, fallback, and mark for death.
How do you go about selecting which ones actually show up?
That's just going to depend on the matchup. Marked for death is usually coming out if I'm playing into something with a lot of stealth or, you know, long movers or dice modification, right? Like Web Warriors, that's a pretty obvious pick. I might pick it for like a Wakanda matchup, something like that, just to put a stop to those rerolls, make it a little easier to get an annoying Okoye off the board, maybe. Fallback, I'm probably going to bring against teams that are going to want to punch me back. Keeping Daredevil healthy for as long as possible is pretty important in this list. If you find yourself in a bad position with him, fallback can sometimes just save you, right? And then mission objective is largely anti-Rhino tech, but if I feel like the game is going to be faster scoring, I might want to bring it just to kind of have a bit more of an insurance policy.
Right. If a card like mission objective that is just always sort of good also has the unique ability of completely stopping one of the best splashes in the game, like it's sort of doubling value, right? Because there's mission objective is just a good card.
Yeah,
and it shuts down Rhino. so yeah, that's it doesn't really feel like a too big of a cost to put that in for the guaranteed insurance against him, and then more generic insurance against maybe some of the rest of the field.
Yeah, definitely. One tactics card that I go back and forth on, it's not in the list currently, is Go Get 'Em Tiger for ASM.
Okay,
I feel like that's a pretty good card for defenders, because like I said earlier, you can make him pretty offensive in this list,
right?
And he usually is holding an extract. You can usually get pretty good value out of it, and especially if you're playing a more defensive style game, like maybe you don't have Hulk. I mean, whether you do or you don't, you know, if you're just trying to survive. ASM is has a few points of damage on him. You're pretty likely to be able to get a daze with him late game, you know, if we're talking like round three or four or something like that. And so sometimes healing three damage with him real quick is really good. So I do really like that card here in Defender specifically. I don't know that I would take it anywhere else with him, but I keep bringing it in and out.
Yeah, I think in talking both with you and then talking with Connor in the web episode, both of you have said that card has seen pretty good value here in Defenders with ASM. The ability to get that daze is just so easy, frankly. As easy as anything can be in Marvel, but
yeah.
But it's just so much more reliable than elsewhere. So I like that a lot and think there's probably something there if you decide. And the cool thing about Defenders is because they don't actually have any text cards, it's not as nearly as expensive maybe as some of the other, as it would be in other places. So I like that inclusion.
Yeah.
Or potential inclusion, let's say. We've got our tactics. What about crises? What do your extracts look like? And what are your thought process behind it? What extracts you want to be running?
So right now I'm running Research Station, Scrolls, and Alien Ship for my extracts. I think in general, since we're attrition leaning, we do want to stick to slower scoring games whenever possible. So that's kind of the rationale behind those. I think that this team feels pretty good on just about any extract.
Okay.
I can't think of an extract that I would be like, oh no, like if that came up on the flip with my opponent. We have a built-in midline grab with ASM. I mean, we got Bill for the Eyes on the Prize play or Strange. Daredevil being a long mover, a small base, he can get to the middle close scroll with one move. So that kind of factors into scrolls. I think anytime you're running Hulk, you are considering Research Station, and then Alien Ship is just in there. It can be kind of interchanged out with Deadly Legacy Virus. I just like the 17 threat a little more personally, mainly because, like I said, the higher the threat goes, the less likely I am to want to put my Hulk on the board. And okay. I feel like our win rate is much better with Hulk on the board.
Yep.
So... Yeah, 17 threat and below, I'm happy with it. So I've got Alien Ship over Legacy Virus.
Okay, yep. So seems pretty straightforward, I think. Researcher obviously needs to be there. You're so good at those fights. On the flip side, Secures, I think you've got some unique stuff in here. So what are the three Secures you're running? Let's talk about those a little bit.
All right, so Secure-wise, I'm rolling with Deadly Meteors, Gamma, and Mayor Fisk Witnesses. Gamma is our preferred crisis. 15 threat Gamma is pretty good. Daredevil, Hulk, Luke, and Wong is a pretty strong 15. You've also got the defensive options, as mentioned earlier, with Daredevil, Dynamo, ASM. That comes to, 13? So Wong in there on top of it. Whichever way you need to go, you feel pretty good. Mayor Fisk. Having Hulk and Wolverine both stun immune feels really good on that. Displacement on everyone along with it feels even better. And then Deadly Meteors basically in there because this third slot's kind of up for grabs. It could be Intrusions. Intrusions is probably the next best. With this leadership, you're really wanting grouped up crises, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want people to be close to you, many models within two. So Deadly Meteors kind of does that. Like it's down the middle, in the middle of the board. People tend to get bunched up on it. The nice thing about it is positioning wise, Daredevil can move with a single move to the near meteor and be able to flip it and then still have an action left. ASM is just really good on pay to flips, potentially getting his power back. Both he and Daredevil can potentially flip all 3 points in a single activation, depending on their power level and where they're at. So that's very nice. So I've just found that Deadly Meteors feels pretty good as opposed to Intrusions, where every single time I seem to roll for a portal, I get a blank or a skull.
Yep. So I want to talk about both Meteors and Fisk. So I'll start with Meteors. I found that this is like a really good shape for people. It's sort of like a blend between a Gamma and an Intrusions where people are really going to be forced to bunch up, but also you still have a point where you can hide things. And so if you have better mobility than your opponent, you can actually punish this really hard where they're trying to hide something, but it's still Hulk can still get from portal to portal very easy on the meteors. So do you like that you can sort of sit Wong if you're playing him sort of, or do you bring Wong here, but you can sit him off to that side portal and say whatever, and but you have that mobility, or what does that look like?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely part of it. Wong oftentimes does end up just sitting on that near meteor. He's happy to just kind of guard it, heal from a distance, whatever might happen. That's obviously if he's on that. I do like to bring Strange with Wong in situations like that where we're guarding pay to flips, and I know Wong's not going to be moving a lot to give him that extra fourth die. I actually just played a game this morning, 19 threat on Meteors and Senators. And Strange and Wong together guarding those points, scalping people in and out, was just an absolute annoyance for my opponent. And again, Daredevil and ASM being there with them, just able to flip anything at the end of a round, feels pretty good.
Absolutely. So yeah, I like that a lot. Meteors, I think, is criminally underplayed. As far as Fisk, how do you deal with the swinginess of Fisk? One bad turn and you can just lose the game right there. So do you find that you're victim to a lot of those swing turns? Because I think it's a very scary secure for a lot of players.
I haven't experienced that with this roster.
Okay.
So with Hulk and Wolverine both having displacement, Wolverine is obviously less reliable. Both of them having displacement is pretty nice. That's a scenario where usually I'm pretty okay with just sitting Wong back at deployment for the first round and passing a power to Wolverine. That way he can get his charge. And if I want to, I can hit no matter the cost, do a spender, and just throw someone off of a Fisk early on. That's a bit of an aggressive play, but it usually works out fairly well because I Hulk can pretty much lock down one of those points by himself most of the time. So if Wolverine's able to go and deal with the other one, then I'm feeling pretty good straight out the bat. And then with Wong having stayed back there so far, if anything is done to Hulk early on, like somehow an early stagger or something like that, I'm usually fine with that since Wong can just come up and remove it. So I haven't really had too much issue on that. I know I said that Gamma is our preferred crisis, but honestly, I don't think anything feels better than Fisk at 16 with defenders.
Yeah. I would buy that. I think this roster is really interesting in terms of, because it is a fighty roster, maybe not liking some of the, you don't like demons, intrusions is okay, but you really are looking for other places to put in some of these big fighters. And I really think that's a really cool thing to see in a roster. So kudos for that.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Since you mentioned it, a lot of people, automatically assume that demons is a good crisis here because we like to punch things, but I would just caution people against that because people tend to not group up like we want them to on demons. They don't want to stand on a portal and get incinerated, and then if we are doing that, our defenses become a lot worse. Daredevil counts blanks, but not if he doesn't have the defense dice. ASM can't reroll dice he doesn't have. So oftentimes it comes down to we are punching really well and we just need to survive to close out the game. And demons really hurts that game plan.
Sure. Yeah, I like that. I think there's a lot of nuances around how this might differ from maybe some other attrition style teams. So what have you found to be the big learning curves with this roster and with this new defenders leadership?
You need to get a decent amount of games with it to kind of figure out when you need to be aggressive and when you want to, or when you need to back off. There are games that you're just not going to win by punching everything, right? And I mean, sometimes you can just tell from turn zero that you are not going to win by attrition. So you can't just throw your roster at them and hope you live. For example, played a game recently against Kingpin on Gamma and Skrulls 20 threat, and it was like razor thin every round as to whether or not I was going to like keep the parity that I needed to end up coming out on top, because he was just so wide, and with everyone counting as two, it was going to be incredibly difficult to take enough models off fast enough to win by attrition, and it was going to be incredibly hard to survive as far as not being dazed at the wrong time to continue scoring enough to be able to close out the game in my favor, right?
Right.
So it was more of a, I'm going to move up with Hulk. I'm going to move as many of your already activated pieces off as I can, and then I'm going to move back with Hulk. Stuff like that. Stuff that you normally wouldn't do with an offensive style team, right?
Sure.
So I think that's number one, just knowing when you need to back off. And I guess that kind of goes into number two, which is just knowing that about Daredevil specifically. You don't want to get Daredevil killed, because then you lose your leadership and you just have generally good characters without a leadership. He has 5 health on his healthy side, which sometimes can just disappear, right? I'm generally not overly aggressive with him.
Okay.
If I'm playing into a team that doesn't have like massive amounts of offense, then yeah, I don't usually mind putting Daredevil up in the middle of the board early. But if I'm playing against anyone with mystic attacks, really, I'm very, very, very hesitant to put Daredevil anywhere forward, because he only counts blanks on the physical and energy, right?
Right.
Once he comes off onto his injured side, he loses that counterattack and the move.
Okay.
So he becomes a decent amount less threatening to the opponent, especially on their turn. The Devil of Hell's Kitchen on the injured side, where he gets to do the extra attack for 2 power. I found that doesn't really help a lot of the time. I guess it can if you're like fishing for baton hook pulls on a bunch of people, trying to pull people off points late. I guess that would be probably the best case use of it. Oftentimes that 2 power, if you're spending that means that you're probably not getting a spender off.
Okay.
So I mean, rarely does he just have a full 10 power, right? So I found a ridiculous amount of times where I have like 6 power on him, and he's not in range to attack someone when he flips. So like I could move him and then Devil of Hell's Kitchen and just gamble that I'm going to get a damage and get enough to do my spender. But that always feels like an awful idea.
Right.
It's usually just a better idea to move and spender, and then that doesn't even come into play. But as long as you've got him on his healthy side, he just feels a lot better. He can get those out of action moves. He can set himself up for his next activation. And so a lot of times you have to kind of figure out if using your defensive tech, heroes or sacrifice, is worth, you know, keeping him alive,
right,
rather than something else that might happen later. So that keeping him alive would be number two. And then lastly, I would say that you just kind of have to look at your order of operations with this list because of how the leadership works.
Okay.
If you're just playing and not really thinking about like the order that you're going to do things, you can kind of just put yourself in a worse spot when you're attacking. Like, for example, if I'm going with Hulk and I know I'm going to be throwing someone away, I probably want to get whatever attacks in first. Like if he's got 3 models around him, and like, let's use my Kingpin game example from earlier. I knew I didn't want to attack Kingpin, but okay, I wanted to hit everyone else.
Right.
So I wanted to do my attacks first, because if I throw Kingpin away, then he's not within 2 anymore. And now I get 1 less reroll on those attacks. Right. So you want to make sure that you're thinking about that when you're deciding the order you're going to do things. It gets a little complicated when you're looking at attacks like Daredevil's spender, the area attack, because like you add dice for the amount of models that are around you, and then as you're doing it, you're pushing them away after each attack. So each time you do that attack and you don't use the rerolls, you're actively giving yourself fewer rerolls on the next attack should you decide to use them then.
Okay.
So you need to, you kind of have to determine what your top target is and say, okay, I'm going to go into them first because I'm going to get 4 rerolls. If I push them away and I haven't used them, I go into the next one, I'm only getting 3 rerolls.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think those are really good points. A lot of maybe the core stuff, core tenets of MCP, positioning, action ordering, target priority. I think this does a really good job of sort of leading you there organically. So from a common squad kind of look, so it's always Daredevil, then it's pretty much as much Hulk as possible at the lower threats. Wong, is that sort of your core? Do you have a couple, or is it really just start with Daredevil and let me just go pick from my toolbox?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair to say. Daredevil, Hulk, and Wong is probably the they're probably the three characters that hit the table the most.
Okay,
but yeah, I mean, it's going to depend on matchup, game crisis, all that. But yeah, they're definitely.
Well, this is a fluff question. So now that you said you like the street level heroes, would that carry over to your most wanted characters?
I'm going to cheat here. I'm going to pick two characters.
Okay.
Because they should come together.
I'll allow it.
I'm going to pick Cloak and Dagger.
Okay.
Yeah. I grew up in the 90s, caught like the tail end of like Super Nintendo, stuff like that. And Maximum Carnage was one of my favorite games back then.
Okay.
And I just remember Cloak and Dagger from that game coming in as assist characters. And I always really liked them. And their defenders, I would be super stoked if they were released a box with those two with some sort of mechanic that works together, you know, kind of like X-23 Honey Badger type thing. Yep. Maybe
if you get a defender box, do you want them to give you tactics cards, or are you just like, at this point I'm fine, I just want to play with all the good ones?
No, I mean, having more options is always good, right?
Right.
So yeah, please give us tactics cards. A lot of people are hoping that with that Shang-Chi box, whenever that comes out,
yep,
maybe there will be a defender's card in there. So yeah, please give us more tech.
All right. I don't think I've heard anyone mention Cloak and Dagger, so that's a good shout. So I know you're nobility on the Discords. If people want to reach out to you, DMs about defenders.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always on there looking for games and talking MCP. So yeah, definitely.
Cool. All right. Well, any last words for the listeners before we call it for today?
Yeah, ASM is best here. Sorry, Webs.
I love it. Well, with that, we'll wrap up. Jeremy, thank you very much for the time today. This was great. It's awesome to hear about this new Defender stuff and to hear that Pentagrams is still playable. So listeners, have a great day, and we will catch you on the next one.